In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every year on this day, we find ourselves confronted with the same dilemma, and often we fall into the same trap. Do we feast before the Lenten fast? And every year, in the back of our minds, this notion strikes us as strangely backwards. We don't feast in order to fast, but we rather fast in preparation for the feast. Nevertheless, our sinful flesh, our corrupted nature, ever seeks to indulge in its own desires, while always promising that tomorrow we will lament our sins and acknowledge our wretchedness. The flesh is of no avail. It profits and benefits us none. The flesh is weak. It desires to lead us into all sorts of temptation, despair, shame, and vice. It deceives and seduces us. And for this reason, we are admonished to fast. Fasting is indeed a fine outward training for fallen flesh. It is a holy discipline, a bodily preparation that slays the flesh and reminds us of our frailty. By it, we learn to discipline our bodies, to bridle our passions. Fasting serves as a bodily reminder that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Our bodies need training. We learn through bodily pains to recognize how the world, the devil, and our own sinful nature tempt us. And this draws and drives us to pray. We pray that we would not live by bread alone. We pray that we would not live in the wilderness of this world by our own reason and strength. We pray that we would live by every word that proceeds from our Lord's mouth, so that we might be led to desire him and his word, which is spirit and life, rather than the desires of our flesh. Yes, the flesh is of no avail, but the spirit gives life. The word is spirit, and he is life. The eternal word who gives eternal life. And so it is that in the fullness of time, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He took on our flesh, our very nature, to redeem it by making it suffer in its own person. He purified our flesh, sanctifying it in himself, not by the changing of the divinity in the flesh, but by the taking up of the humanity into God. He made our flesh righteous and thus acceptable to God the Father, submitting it to an expiatory passion, imparting it then to us. The Word, Jesus Christ our Lord, became flesh and dwelt among us. He took on our flesh. He took it, consecrated it, broke it and said, "Take and divide it among yourselves. This is my body, this is my blood, which is given and shed for you. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed, that you may have life and have it abundantly." This, however, is a difficult teaching, a stumbling block and foolishness. And Peter understood it. "Lord, to whom shall we go?" As if to say, where else will we behold the Holy One of God? Where else will we eat and drink unto salvation? The flesh is of no avail, but you, O Lord, are spirit and life. Your flesh is true food, and your blood is true drink. It is the living bread from heaven, food for the way, the feast of feasts, the medicine of immortality and the antidote against death. Stand with Peter. Fast in the body, but feast in the spirit. Though you slay the flesh, drink and be merry unto eternal life through the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though you lament your sin and acknowledge your wretchedness, fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. The flesh is of no avail, but the Word made flesh makes all things new. Taste for the savory and the sweet return. The hunger of fasting is the best seasoning. It creates a yearning for the gifts of our Lord's body and blood. And this is the feast that will not end. In the holy name of Jesus.